playing some shows here and there. We opened up for Ill Scarlet recently, and a pop punk band from BC called Costin. And yeah, we're just a little bit on a break right now and just preparing for our next release that's coming out this Friday.
You got a new haircut too.
Yeah.
It's a lot shorter.
Any inspiration for the haircut?
I just wanted a change. Yeah. I just had it long to my shoulders for a while, and now it's like short.
I feel like whenever you have long hair, it's nice in hindsight. And then there's like that one day where you have to maintain it, and it's, I'm just so done with dealing with long hair, and you just cut it all off.
I think one of the last straws was I bought a like one of those electronic computer dusters.
Yeah.
And then my hair actually got caught in the back, and I actually had to cut a little bit off.
Oh, man. Yeah. Well, you got a new single coming out on Friday. It's called Annoy You. It's really nice. I love the hook. Comes in really nicely.
Thank you.
The riffs are beautiful. Can you touch on a little bit on how that all came together?
Yeah, it started out as a demo, and I wanted to write a song for my sister, who was going through a rough period in her life. And I just wanted to, you know, give her comfort and warmth. And so she can just have something to listen to and, you know, something to remind her that I'm always there for her.
Mm-hmm. Riff-wise, can we touch on the guitars? It kind of came off modern baseball-y. I had a little bit of that vibe when I heard it, but I guess, how'd you come together with those chords and riffs?
Well, Nick wrote the original riff for the song, and it does definitely have kind of like a modern baseball emo kind of vibe to it, but it kind of just kept changing as we wrote it. Like, the end is very shoegazy, like, kind of reminds me of, like, My Bloody Valentine, those kind of artists, because we just, like, layered fuzz and reverb and everything on top of the original guitar part. But also the solo as well, what I play in there, at least to me, it feels like more pop inspired, like pop punk. So it's kind of like a wide range of influences on that one song, which I think makes it really special.
For sure. You guys are coming up here with a show on the 20th with Gratuitous and the Provocateurs. The whole lead up to the single has kind of had waves of nostalgia. You guys on Instagram have been posting, you know, pictures of yourselves when you're younger, and I don't know what I would describe the concert poster for you guys at the Aviary coming up on the 20th, but it also kind of brings nostalgia. Is that something you guys were hoping to bring out in this song, in this release?
Yeah, we wanted to kind of go with the whole, like, it's funner to be younger type vibes. That's why we went with the school photos. We thought it was just really dumb, and we thought it would kind of fit it. Like, that's the type of branding that we want to do. Like, we don't like taking ourselves seriously. Like, that's kind of lame. so we just decided to have fun with it. And we thought the school photo thing would be really funny for it. And since it's all about nostalgia, we're like, let's just take all that stuff. So,
Provocateurs and Gratuitous on this lineup. Obviously, Ill Scarlet was an awesome band to open for. But can we just touch on, you know, three great local groups, just the relationship you guys have with Gratuitous and
Provocateurs? We went to school with a few of them. So we kind of got to know them when they used to be called Gratuitous Platypus, for those who don't know. They were really chill dudes, and we really vibed with them. And then last summer, we played a show with Provocateurs, and they were just really chill dudes, and we really got along with them well. And we thought, like, combining all of us together would create this really special bill. And, like, I think they're two really special bands in the music scene. Kind of similar and kind of different, but their vibes are just, like, immaculate either way.
100%, and they all kind of seem like, you know, I went to a Gratuitous show at the Aviary maybe a month ago, and it was like that masquerade night.
Right.
So love taking part in all these sort of themes. So do you guys have, you don't have to spoil it, but are you guys going to be coordinating some outfits throughout the night to kind of capture that back to school thing?
I'd say so. I don't think it's a secret, but the show is our back to school photo show. So we encourage everyone who's coming to dress up like you're like going for your high school or elementary school photos. We just want to have fun. We love putting on shows that have like a vibe to them, kind of like the Gratuitous one with the masquerade. We thought it was a great idea. Yeah. So we kind of stole it a bit.
Did you guys have any nightmare like back to school photos? I remember when I was younger, my mom put me up in like this, it's funny, I hated it when I was a kid, but now that I like look back on it, it was kind of a hard outfit. It was like these overalls with like a horizontal striped red shirt,
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so
it's kind of like something I wear.
Yeah. Nick, you always wear overalls at shows, so I don't know. Maybe I'll bust them out. But do you guys have any, like, funny memories when it comes to back-to-school pictures?
I used to never smile in my photos, so I'd have, like, I'd frown in them, but I'd be really happy inside. But, like, all of my photos from, like, grade 1 to 6 are just me, like, pissed. But I wasn't pissed. I was I was having a good time. I was just too shy to smile in front of a camera.
I feel that.
But yeah, no, I look pretty hard in those photos.
Oh man. You guys worked with a great producer here in Edmonton, James Banks. Can you just touch on a little bit about that relationship that you've developed over the last couple months? And
yeah, we hit up James after I think a year or so after hearing the Nicholas Rage EP that he worked with him. We just love that sound so much that we decided to contact him and work together. There's, with James, like, he taught us so much as a band. And, I feel like those lessons will carry on through us, you know, for life. And just love how meticulous he was. And he just brought the best out of all of us.
Before, like, going into that recording and after that recording, to me, I think to all of us, we sound almost like a different band. Like, our skill level just improved so much. Our chemistry together improved so much. We learned so much, and I think we'll forever be grateful to James. He did such a great job on these recordings.
What does he do that's so special? Is he a hands-on guy? Is he hands-off, where he kind of just lets you guys do the thing, and then he brings in that feedback? Or is he very hands-on in how you guys went through that whole process?
It was very particular, as Nick was mentioning. We did a lot of takes just to get the perfect one. He was really particular. Like, once you get your best take, then you're just starting. Mm-hmm. Then you gotta do more and more. And, like, he's just a wizard with sound and everything. Everything he does just sounds great. He knows how to get a good take out of anyone. He knows how to make you feel comfortable in the studio. And he's just a great guy. Like, I don't think any of us can say enough nice things about him, because he's just, like, he felt like part of the band by the end. And we recorded with him for about 6 months. Mm-hmm. So we got to know each other really well. And it was a real highlight for me personally with the band, just always going to his studio and just having a good time, having a laugh, getting some tracks done.
Mm-hmm. You said you worked with Nicholas Rage. Are there any other local groups that you know of that he's worked with?
He plays in a band called Forrester. And okay. He produced and recorded, like, all the releases so far, and those just sound like as good as the Nicholas Rage stuff. And he's also done Mint Club as well.
Nice.
Yeah. Hairhound.
Hairhound, okay. From Red Deer, but I think they're based in Edmonton now.
Okay. Yeah. Obviously, all you guys have different occupancies. Music is something that you guys all love, but, you know, got to work and do other things. How do you maintain that balance? Because you said you're working with James for about 6 months. Is it hard to find that work-music balance, or?
Yeah, I'm burnt out, but, like, like, it's worth it. Like, you just find a way to make it work regardless. Like, I'm working as a server at nights right now. I don't get home till, like, 1 in the morning, so balancing music and school on top of that. But if you like music enough, then you just find something that works.
I'd like to add to that, one of the processes that we went through is that James, he's a painter by trade, so that's his day job. So we're all in the same boat. We all got day jobs, and then after we're done, we just hit the studio for, you know, the rest of the evening, and then you just gotta make it work.
And that's one of the reasons why we liked James. It was such a relaxed approach as well with him. It wasn't like, you gotta get this song done tonight. It's like, we'll hit the verse, we'll hit the chorus, and then we'll call it a night, because we all work. We all do stuff, so it was really nice that having that relaxed approach. We didn't feel rushed at all.
Maintains kind of like that fun atmosphere rather than make music also feel like a second job, right? It's kind of
100%.
Escape from your job. If people want to get up to date with the new song coming out over the weekend, some shows coming up, merch, whatever it may be, just plug your social media.
Yeah, our social media is DSL The Band. That's our Instagram. That's also our TikTok account, too. And you can find us on Facebook, Daryl Saves Lives.
And Spotify.
Oh, yeah, and Spotify.
And Apple
Daryl Saves Lives. And Apple. And Napster. Deezer.